A very good morning. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. A very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to Eagle FM. It's a Friday. It's a Friday this morning. It's a Friday morning. And, it's also a payday. It's also a payday today. It's a bad combination for some people. Friday and it's a payday. It's a very bad combination, really. For some people I will never mention. All right. So very good morning to you. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. And, it's the last day also of the month of July. So the year is running faster. It's actually faster than our economy. So the year is actually going faster than our economy. I wish our economy was that as fast as the year, actually. So a very good morning to you. Our time is about 6 minutes past the hour of 8. We thank Tote Franz for Kuthamosha and always making sure he's much up early to educate and inform us what is going around, what is happening in and around this beautiful, beautiful land of the brave. So my name is Michael Chiavelli, and this is Unpacking the Day. And thanks for choosing Eagle FM. So this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers are making headlines. We keep it clear and always ask the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. Views, we are here actually to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and welcome. If you're just joining us, we're coming to you live from the greater, the beautiful Oshana region and your town on Dangwa. So we come into you live and direct from this beautiful, beautiful region and town. All right. So make sure that when you are around, visit us. Yeah, maybe pop in and then say hi as well when you're around this very town. All right. As usual, We start looking at what happened on this day in Africa. So welcome back to On This Day in Africa, and let's take a quick trip through the history books and see what happened on this day across our beautiful, beautiful, beautiful continent. All right. So first up, a day that means so much to millions across Africa. So on July 31st. In 1962, women from all corners of the continent gathered in Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. So they sat down together and built the very first organization that represented African women on a continent-wide scale. So that bold step in 1962 is why we mark Africa Women's Day every year on this day. So a day to honor the hard work, the sacrifice, and the ongoing fight for women's rights across Africa. And fast forward 2 years to July 31st in 1964, Malawi shook off the last trace of British rule and became a fully independent republic. Dr. Hastings Kamuzu Banda stepped up as the country's first president. Well, it was a powerful moment. It was a powerful moment. A former protectorate now calling its own shots, governing itself, and charting, you know, charting its own future. So, yeah, of course, 31st didn't stop being important after 1962. So year after year, this day brings people together to talk about women's achievement, but also to have honest conversation about what's still not fair and what needs to change. So gender equity or gender equality, women empowerment, you know, these are the discussion that happened today and every 31st of July. So jumping to 2001, on July 31st of that year, African leaders got together and officially launched NEPAD. You know, one of the projects that was, you know, the national, it's called the New Partnership for Africa Development, you know, and nobody talk about it anymore, you know. It's one of the very, very, very important project for Africa, NEPAD, and you don't hear it. It was a big idea, you know, put together as a continent, grow our economies, tackle poverty, clean up governance, you know, and build a future that actually lasts. So it was an ambitious plan. A reminder that African nations can set their own development agenda, or even if they don't, you know, carry them through. we also remind the world that we can set our own developing agenda. So, yeah, it was a plan that was, you know, spoken at one point, was on every agenda. It was on every, you know, rhetoric, you know, a political rhetoric, you know. Yeah, and we don't hear it anymore. All right, and finally, just July 31st, 2018, Zimbabwe held its first general election after Robert Mugabe stepped down the year before, yeah. For a country that had known one leader for decades, this election was a massive test. Could Zimbabwe make a real democratic transition? So that was the question, and all eyes were on Harare at that day. So there you have it. July 31st has given us women solidarity, independence, development plans, and democratic hope. You know, a pretty packed day in African history. So stay tuned. More coming up after this.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. Our time is about 13 minutes past the hour of 8. And welcome. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So as we start this new day, what is our thought for the day? So, yeah, our thought for the day, think about this African proverb. No sun sets without its histories. No sun sets without its histories. What does that mean? It means every day leaves behind a story. Every sunset carries the memories of what happened before it. So the good choices we made, the mistakes we made, the people we helped, the opportunity we missed, when the sun goes down, the day is finished, but its history remains. So before today becomes another story in your life, ask yourself, what kind of history am I creating right now? So will today be remembered for kindness or for anger, for effort or for excuses, you know, for courage or for fear? So will today be remembered for what? Okay. The truth is, our lives are not built in years. They are built in days and every day become part of our history. So make today count, all right? Make today count, because when this sun sets tonight, you know, it too will have a story to tell. And what will be your story? Well, that's our thought for the day on this Friday. So hopefully your story, it doesn't end up, you know, Pokandikosho Kamem Kwamalanga. All right. Hopefully that's not your story. All right. A very good morning to you, and welcome. Welcome. Thanks for choosing us, and thanks for joining me here on Unpacking the Day. All right. So we have a menu. And it's fully, you know, we have varieties on the menu. It's your choice. Yeah. So we have variety on the menu. One thing that we're going to look at, there's a new FDI intelligence report. It's called FDI intelligence report. It has crowned Namibia as Africa's top performer and the second ranked nation globally. All right, let's pop the champagne. So yeah, we are the second ranked nation globally for our exceptional ability to attract new international business operations. So, all right. So as we are crowned Africa's top performer, does that reality reflect on the ground? So that's what we're gonna, you know, that's what we're gonna dig deep. All right, let's not pop the champagne yet. Okay, let's hold the champagne. So are we, you know, on the ground? Does that reality, you know, reflected there? All right. So and today is Friday, and our e-newspaper, it's also our edition, our Friday edition is also out. Make sure that you subscribe, and it's a very simple thing that you need to do. And you're missing out if you are not part of that. If you're not part of that family, of the villager family, you are definitely missing out. All right, so there's a story. It's a story by Nginomen Mavadi Hangala. The Southern African Development Community, that's SADC, has taken a significant step towards regional financial integration by integrating the Angolan kwanza as a settlement currency within its real-time gross settlement system. There is this real-time gross settlement system. So, actually, it was just South African currency that was that was within that. So, yeah, now Angolan kwanza has now been settled within this SADC real-time gross settlement system. There's also a plan to include Botswana Pula next. What about Namibia? Okay, what about Namibia? Well, that's our questions, and that's what we're going to unpack. So make sure that we do that together. So, and the other thing, another story also in today's edition, in Friday edition, there was a recent DBN. It was actually at the Kavango trade fair, at one of the trade fair, a recent DBN engagement session in Rundu, you know, with there's a trade fair that was going on in Rundu. So there was an engagement then. And that engagement, actually, the DBN, Developing Bank of Namibia, turned into a forum for critical scrutiny as local business owners questioned the bank's tangible economic impact on the Kavango regions. So maybe it's something that they were not, you know, prepared for. So we're going to go into that as well. Make sure that, you know, make sure that you make sure that you unpack that with me, and it's coming up right away. So we're gonna get into all of this, as you can see, fully packed, and we're ready now to put it in our mouth. Now, this is actually not to put it in our mouth; it's to put it in our minds and in our head, and start questioning and start thinking and questioning. That's what we do here. All right. So we'll be back in a second.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, that's right. This is Eagle FM. If you're just joining us, and thank you for choosing us to be in your company, and we love doing that. We do this for you, all right? We just do this for you. Now, good morning and welcome. So you are tuning to Unpacking the Day right here on Eagle FM, the station that does not shy. Eh? This is a station that does not shy away from, you know, hard questions. Eh? So, I'm your host, Big Mac. Now, Namibia, our very own beautiful land of the brave, has just been ranked number one in the entire world. No, number two. Has been just ranked number two in the entire world and number one in Africa. So, why are we ranked number one? At least we are ranked number one and number two for something good. This time is not for an inequality, it's not for our unequal distribution of our wealth, you know. At least this time we are being ranked number two in the entire world and number one on the continent for pulling in foreign investment relative to the size of our economy. So number two, all right, only the United Arab Emirates beat us. It's the only the country that has beaten us. We came ahead of one of the African that we can. We came ahead of Rwanda, which actually third. Maybe if it wasn't for certain resources, maybe that we have or that is going on in this country, maybe Rwanda would have been the first, actually. So we came ahead of Rwanda, ahead of Qatar. Well, just to say ahead of countries with 10 times, you know, our GDP. So, yeah. So, well, don't pop the champagne yet. Okay? Just hold on. I will allow you to pop the champagne. Okay? So, I will allow you to pop the champagne later. But for now, just hold on. So, before you pop the champagne, so let's unpack this. Okay? We got to unpack it properly. Okay, then you can pop the champagne. Because when the headline sounds this good, okay, I don't want to say you be suspicious about it, okay? It sounds too good to be true. No. Okay, you have got to ask, okay? That's all what you got to ask. What is really going on beneath the surface, okay? All right, thank you. All right, but let's peel off some layers and see what is underneath. Okay, and that's what we're gonna do right now. But first of all, let's look at what the report is saying. So what is the report saying? All right. So there's a backstory. Okay, here's the backstory. Okay, a research outfit called FDI, you know, intelligence. They are part of the Financial Times group. So they are not some fly-by-night, some kind of company or organization or operation. So they look at 98 economies around the world, and they measured something very specific. Normally, they measure something that's very, very, very specific. How many new international business project, did a country attract? You know, did a country attract compared to the size of its economy? That's what they measure. How many new international business project did a country attract compared to the size of its economy? Okay, so that's a question. That's the guidelines of that's get us where we are. So you can just imagine what the sectors that we have, you know, that we have attracted, that put us on the map. And we also need to think in terms of, okay, if we didn't have this, would we have been there? Would we have diversified our business project, which would have actually attracted more people? Are we diversifying our economy to attract more international business? Okay, so maybe think about that. Let's look around. Let's think about that as well. So now what this report actually measures is actually, is not who got the most money in total. Okay, you may have actually, you know, attracted more international business project, but it might not actually the most, if you put all that together, it might not, you might not the one who got most money in total. So, you know what, if it was that, I mean, there are big boys. If it was the case, there are big boys, you know, the like of America and China, they would swallow this list. They will swallow the list. So this index actually look at how much new foreign investment we are pulling in. So how much we are pulling in compared to the size of our economy. So what that, okay, think of it like this, okay? So when even said in terms of, because there's that element where it's to the size of our economy, compared to the size of our economy. Now, this, think of it like this. If a small guy in the boxing ring punches as hard as the heavyweight, what happened? People noticed. He's actually punching as hard as the heavyweight. So, and that's us now. We are punching as hard as the heavyweight. So we are a small guy punching hard. All right? So that's what this index is measures. So it's not about total money. It's about punching above your weight. All right? We are actually punching above our weight. And that's why, you know, the world noticed. So Namibia scored 7.74 on this index. So the EUA, which is basically a global money magnet, we know that, scored 19.21. When you look at that gap, we are second, but we're really a distance, okay, to the global money magnet. So Rwanda came in at 6.99, you know, not far from us, as you can see, and Qatar at 5.44. So that's the top three. Now, the specific type of investment they tracked is called greenfield FDI. Okay.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Well, that sneaked up on me. All right, 30 minutes past the hour of 8. All right. So I was just explaining to you that the specific type of investment they track is called Greenfield FDI. Now, the Greenfield means a foreign company comes in and builds something brand new from scratch. All right? So that's what it means. That's, you know, a foreign company, it comes in and builds something brand new from absolutely from scratch. Could be a new mine, it could be a new solar plant, it could be, you know, it could be a new factory. So complete from scratch, but a foreign company, okay? So they are not just buying an existing Namibian company, for example. They are putting fresh money into the ground and creating something that was not there before. So that's what it means, Greenfield FDI. So that is important. That's very important. This is very important because it is unusually means, that's then unusually, because it's usually then means, new jobs. Yes, it means a new jobs, new infrastructure, and new skill transfer, you know? So the things that we normally talk about, okay, we need something that create jobs, create infrastructure, and also transfer skill to our people. So that's why that's very important, okay? So when we talk about Greenfield FDI. So now in 2025, Namibia pulled in 16 of these Greenfield projects. So we pulled in about 16 Greenfield projects. So that's our second best year ever. Eh? Our second best year ever. The record was 19 projects back in 2024. Okay? And so the trend is moving. No question, definitely. Yeah. So, but let's look at this more critically. Let's look at this more critically. We're talking about 16 projects in a whole year. For a country that is, now this is a country that being called the second best in the world. Eh? 16 projects in the whole year. So, and that tells you something about the index itself. So it is measuring quality against size. Eh? Not raw volume, okay? It doesn't look at the quantity. It's measuring quality against size, not the volume, actually. So not the raw volume. So we are not pulling in hundreds of projects like China or India. But for a country with our GDP, 16 is a serious performance, you know? That's why I was saying earlier on that, you know, we're punching above our weight, okay? And that's why the world noticed, and institution like this actually noticed. Now, the Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board, the NIPDB, they are obviously celebrating this, okay? They are celebrating this. Their acting executive for competitiveness and branding says, this ranking show Namibia is becoming more visible and attractive to investors. So, she say it's reflect the government's commitment. She say it reflect the government's commitment to creating an environment where investors can confidently set up and grow their business. Okay. Let us give credit where it's due, right? Let's give credit where it's due. If you are a foreign investor looking at Africa, so, yeah, Say, for example, you are for an investor. Now you're looking at Africa. So Namibia does have something going for it. You know, we have something that's going for us that many of our neighbors can only dream of. Eh? Yeah. So that's why I said, let's give credit where it's due. So we have political stability. Eh? Well, for now, no coup. We don't hear coup here in, especially this side of the world. No civil wars. Okay. Peaceful elections since 1990. Yeah. So we have stability. Okay. Political stability. I think that's something investors are looking at. You don't want to get into a country where, you know, you are there for 2 months and next thing, you know, your money blow up in, in smoke. Eh? So that's very important to investor, to, for the investors as well. So we have a strategic location. Remember, you know, we are right on the Atlantic, yeah, gateway to Southern Africa. We are a gateway to Southern Africa, and we haven't maximized that that well enough, I must say, you know. So we are a gateway to Southern Africa with Walvis Bay port that connect you to the global shipping routes, you know. So that also, that also very, very play a major, major, major role into this. And we have natural resources. Eh? We have abundant natural resources. We have mineral, we have fish, we have wildlife. Well, and now, don't forget this, and now oil and gas. Oil and gas. And we have a legal system as well. So it's not that we are a lawless country. We have a legal system that is generally predictable and investor-friendly. So we have laws that are investor-friendly, and we, every time we're trying to invent ourselves better. So, yeah, we have something that's going on for us, okay? But you knew that the bat is coming, isn't it? All right? We always have to balance, yeah? We're not here to sing praises. We're here to analyze, to help you have a better understanding of what this issue is all about, you know, to help you really look at other side as well, other side of the coin, okay? That's what it is all about. So I think we need to push back a little bit, okay? We need to push back a little bit. The NIPDB says this ranking reflects the government's commitment to creating a good investment environment. Yeah, I have mentioned, you know, some of the things that we can, you know, give credit for, you know, and of course you can say, yeah, it's because of the government. They are, but now let me ask you, let me ask you also this, okay? Does the reality on the ground sometimes match that claim? You know, if you are small business owners, okay, we're talking about the government committing to creating a good investment environment. Now, if you are a small business owner in Katutura, you know, or somewhere in Oneshila, or, you know, or somewhere in Katima, okay, small business owner in those areas, it's a small business trying actually to get a license, just a license, does it feel the government is making this, does it feel that it's making it things easier for you? Eh? Let's say for you are a farmer in the north, waiting for the land title for 5 years. Does it feel like the system is working for you? The truth is, you know, there is also another index that put us at the bottom. We were second at the bottom. We actually, both, we are second on top in terms of attracting, but we are second from the bottom in terms of ease of doing business. Eh? There was a report that we looked at not long time ago. Eh? The ease of doing business indicators for Namibia have been sluggish for years. It has been really, really sluggish. It's not easy doing business in Namibia. So we attract a lot of investment, international investment, but doing business in Namibia, we came second from the bottom. Yeah? So how do you reconcile the two? You can only reconcile that, you know, as I said, for like, as I'm saying, you know, if you're a business person, business owners in small business owners in Katutura or anywhere, you know, you find it difficult, you know, doing business in Namibia. Bureaucratic red tape, slow permit processes, and sometimes downright unhelpful civil servant in government offices. These are not secrets. These are not secrets. They are daily realities for many Namibians. There are so many Namibians that experience this, bureaucratic red tape. Now, so when the government now takes a bow for this ranking, so when now they take a bow for this ranking, we should acknowledge the win. All right, yeah, we should acknowledge that win. I think we should acknowledge, as I said, there's credit there. But also ask, is the investment environment really improving? Is it improving for ordinary Namibians? Or is it just improving for the big foreigner players, for the foreign players who can afford actually to navigate the system? Because these foreign companies, they have legal department, they have, you know, marketing department, they have, you know, yeah? So it's easy for them to navigate the system. So, but is the investment environment really improving for ordinary Namibians? That's up for you to answer. Yeah? Is it improving, really, on the ground for ordinary Namibians? That's the question. All right? So, but... so to understand this, really, to understand this perspective and maybe this index, we also need to look at the big elephant in the room. Okay? Let's talk about the real reason the world is suddenly looking at Namibia like a pretty girlfriend or like a pretty girl at the dance, on a dancing floor. Okay? Everybody looking at her, eh? So why is the world looking at us, looking at Namibia like a pretty, you know, a pretty lady on a dance floor? Why? I think you guess right. I think you just guess right. The FDI intelligence report, that report itself say, and it said it plainly, major oil and gas discoveries in Namibia offshore, orange basins, have piqued, that's the word used, foreign investors' interest. You know, so the word piqued is like irritated or what would it be? Not irritated in a negative way. It's kind of like, it has to make you kind of what is going on, you know. So yeah, the Orange Basin, of course, most of you know that this is a stretch of ocean off our southern coast near Oranjemund, and over the past few years, companies like Shell, Total Energies, the other Portuguese one, Galp, have made significant discoveries there. So they made discoveries there. And remember, these are big companies. We're not talking of some small onions, some kind of companies. We're talking about Shell here. We're talking about Total Energies and Galp. So, of course, if they move in the area, everybody follows them. Eh? You know, these are the what and what. These are the who and who of the world, the big guns. Eh? A chef grande, de France, you know. These are the chef grande. And in the oil industries. In the world now, it's not just about, you know. So when they move around, when they come in your area, people notice, what are they going to do there? Eh? What is going there? And when they speak internationally. Eh? they are not just speaking like they are in France or they're just in Portugal or just in Canada. No, when they speak, you know, internationally, and everybody listen. All right? So, and we're talking about, you know, we're talking about billions of, what is that? Billions of barrels of oil potentially sitting under our water. Yeah? So this is one of the commodities that when people, when hear oil, oil where? You know, oil where? So, and we're talking about potential, as I said, about billions of barrels. So when that kind of money now is also on the table, and people now talking about that kind of money, the whole world pay attention. So you see why we are actually making the, you know, why we make the top. The whole world pay attention. Okay. Yeah. So my question is also then, my question is Namibia really attracting investment because of our, now when we're talking about investment environment, you know, are we attracting investment because of our business friendly policies? Do we, you know, I'm not questioning that. I'm just asking, you know, or is it because we happen to have oil under the sea? So, well, you don't say, well, we don't care if it's coincidentally. Well, if this is happening coincidentally, at least we are up there. Yeah? So we are up there. So, yeah, but think about it. Is there, are we, no, the question, my question is actually looking at, is this is something that we are doing deliberately and becomes the way we do business? Or is this happen accidentally just because we have oil under our sea? Do you understand? You understand the reason of the questions. Eh? So don't just dismiss, who cares? You should. Eh? So because what happened is that you may not even be ready. You're not deliberately even doing something to make sure to safeguard that. Eh? You should care. So, and of course, this is the thing. If you got oil, investors will come. It doesn't matter. Eh? Whether you, it doesn't even if your red tape is thick, you know, even if your red tape is thick enough to choke a hippo, you know, on neck of a hippo. So, even if your red tape are thick enough actually to choke a hippo, look at Nigeria, look at Angola. Oil money attracts foreign company like flies to Okatomeno. Yeah? They attract foreign monies, foreign companies. Yeah? They coming running like they're coming to Okatomeno. You know, what is Okatomeno in English? Abattoir? Huh? Not really abattoir. So, yeah, Okatomeno. They will come. It doesn't matter whether you're red tape or what, you know? So that's something that they won't miss. So, and the other question then, that's why I'm asking that question. So, and the other question is also, does that oil money, because this is much important to you and to me, does that oil money now, even if this is now what has put us on top there, you know? So, and we can be proud ourselves and we can say, yeah, we are top there, yeah? Even better than other countries, 10 times we are there. Even better than other countries that are 10 times bigger than our GDP. But the question is also, does that oil then, that oil money actually transform the lives of your ordinary people? That is the $1 billion question. The billion, not a $1 million. That's a $1 billion question, literally. Yeah? And We don't need to go far. Nigeria has been pumping oil for decades. And the average Nigerian is in the street has not seen the kind of transformation you would expect. Examples are here. Angola, it's the same story. So that's why I said, hey, don't pop the champagne yet. Let's get into a little bit, you know, into it slowly by slowly. And then maybe then we can then pop the champagne. Seriously, when we celebrate this ranking, we have to ask ourselves, are we building, you know, so we need to ask ourselves, are we building a diversified economy? Okay. Are we building a diversified economy? Are we just, or we just next, this could be just the next, or are we just the next oil frontier? Okay. Soon we have oil frontier that will make a few people very, very, very rich while the rest of us, watch from the sideline. Don't just take this for granted, my friend. Don't just sit there and take it for granted that all will be well. Eh? Take a mongereka toka alikana kuchae, all will be well. Eh? And then you find yourself that, what happened? 10 years later you find, what happened all to all that, to all that money we're talking about? Eh? So have your eyes open. Ask question. Learn what is going on. Okay? This is what this station is trying to help you. Okay? We want you to be on top of everything. Okay? We go and do the research, you know, go behind, you know, behind the scene, rather than what just said in the news or by the headlines, you know, let's dig a little bit. Okay? Let's just scratch a little over the surface and see what is a little bit beneath. Let's exercise our thinking ability a little bit, you know? Yeah. Do you know that we, you know, psychologically, we don't even use 10% of our mind, what our mind is capable of. You only use about 10%. And do you know why? You know, when you grow, you start to get into habit. Let me give you an example. You start to get into habit. So, and when you get into habit, you don't think anymore. You just act like a robot. So you're not actually do a thinking in terms of new things. Let's hear what this one have to say. A very good morning, man. Welcome to Unpacking. It's a Friday.
My brother, how are you?
I'm okay, man. And yourself?
Fine. Hey, is it your last day today?
Yeah, today is my last day.
No, why? Please.
Yeah. So you never know, my friend. What gonna comes, it could even blow your mind. You know? Yeah. No, I'm growing old. There are few. I want to, you know, to go and check my little bit of my chickens, you know, feed the pigs and, you know. Eh?
you are talking about, you are reminding me about the story of Noah.
Yeah.
Leaving others behind. Yeah. Okay, no, look, no, thank you, my brother. It's how life is.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, we can't stay stagnant like African politics.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we don't want to change, you see, the leadership style. It's fine.
Mm.
Okay, now, what I'm trying to say is, you see, sometimes, and this is what I used to say always, you see, when you want to change something,
yeah,
you must first understand, you see, what are you going, or identify what need to be changed and how are you going to change it.
Yeah.
Now, when we, and most of African country, I don't know, maybe South Africa and these Arab country, maybe, they might be declared developed, maybe, but I'm doubting. How long are we going to be declared or defined as developing country? You see?
Yeah.
The thing is, but while we have natural resources here, plenty of them.
Yeah.
Now.
But do you know that? Do you remember the former president who actually, you know, said we wanted to stay actually in developing countries so that we ask. So when you are there, then you can be able to access, you know, international funding. You know, you can be able to go to international funding institution, and they look at you as in a developing country. They, you know, they have their different system that help you to develop. So if you become in an upper developing country, or then there's some restrictions, and African felt that no, we want to be poor. So no, we want to be poor so that we can get this help.
Yeah, I understand. But the thing what we don't understand is when you, someone's living style, you will, because that someone will measure you with him or will just put you on the same scale as his. Then what, because you will not live like them, you will not be like them. You can try, you will still be, it's like learning some another language.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say, while you are 30, 40 years, you want to learn to speak another language fluently. You won't. You see? You won't. It must start, you must start at the tender age. But if you start playing with, let me say you go, you are a Ndonga, but you go and grow up in Okwanyama kingdom, you will definitely speak Okwanyama like your mother language.
Yeah.
But if you go there as a teacher, maybe 35 years, you might speak, but there's something. People might identify you somewhere, somehow.
France is the example of that, you know. We have France as example of that,
Yes. Now the why I'm saying that is we're supposed to start with what we have first, to grow our own living style.
Yeah.
To say, okay, in Africa we measure development or poor or wealth in this way of ours.
Mm.
I will give you an example here in Namibia. Later, I will not compare ourselves with Europe.
Yeah.
When they tell you that the poorest region, they will refer you to what? Kavango, East, West, and Ohangwena.
Yeah.
Why? You see? Why? Because the infrastructure there is what they look at, the modern one.
Yeah.
It's not people are dying of hunger or they don't have food to eat. No. They will look at what are they wearing, are they, you see, how many Brazilian hair was bought by those people from that side?
Yeah.
How many Amarok V6, how many latest Benz, how many buildings are there? They will look at this modern style. But if you go in Hardap, I will give you an example now.
Mm.
Or in Hardap, I'm just not saying, I'm not being tribalist, but I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah.
Now, we take someone from the north or Hangwen or whatever, and put who is living, you see, without knocking on the government's door, always.
Yeah.
Or without depending on someone. Because that person can go in his Mahangu field, cultivate his own food and consume. It is fine.
Mm.
You see? No, without, but if you look at the environment, you see, to say that this region, because you will define based on the infrastructures, living style, and so on. Then you will say, no, these people are poor.
Yeah.
Why? Because you are using the statistic of European style. You see? Those are the things what we should have looked at. That's why we abandoned agriculture and focused most on mining. Knowing that, will these mining sectors really, you see, change the living style or improve the living livelihood of our ordinary people? Which is a no. You see, which is a no.
Yeah.
But if we could have pumped billions in agriculture to say that, look here, we have institutions or government institutions which consume food, domestic food. Let us say prisoners, soldiers, in the hospital, hostels, or even this black market.
Yeah.
Now, if you tell me today that, okay, look, there is a market there, there is a platform, a market there, which, not AMTA, this is just, AMTA is just a formality of window dressing.
Yeah,
you put up and say, look here, our children, people who are in prison, you start like maybe with prison, the soldiers and so on, and say, they are going to consume and the government is going to procure from local. You see?
Yeah.
When you put that one, the Hereros will breed cattle and sell direct. The Damaras will breed goats or whatever what they do, traditional how they live. You say, bring on what you have.
Mm.
The Heros can produce milk or maere and bring. You say, bring on, as long as it's now, you see, meet the standard. But that standard must be a domestic standard.
Yeah.
You see? Not international one. No, you just put up a standard. Then you say, Zambezi, whatever they produce there, from Tukavangos or Hangwena or Musati, bring on.
Yeah.
Now that's where you empower your own people.
Yeah.
On the grassroots. Now, when those people come and say, we are not talking about mining. Yes, it's on our GDP, but first one on top is agriculture. You see?
Yeah.
Then you will see our scientists, agricultural scientists and graduates, they will start now modernizing it. While you modernize it, then that's where you will understand that, okay, you will even be able to export it outside. You see, because they will now say that, no, this one, the nutrition in this mutete or BD, it can jacket, you see, it can prevent cancer or whatever. That's where they, it will attract the world market. But we have ambassadors and we are sleeping on duty. We have ministers, we are sleeping on duty. Now, when they, you run for a summit in another country, which they built by themselves, you run to China. China was also the same like us, and even worse. What they did, they, you see, they regroup themselves and identify, you see, the blockage in front of them and say, look, let us remove this stone so that we can pass through. Let us be like water. You navigate until you reach where you want to go.
You see? So
That is the thing.
That
is the thing. But our leaders, seriously, that's what I'm saying, that the combination of leadership in Namibia is lacking. The coordination. We have traditional leaders pulling that side. Religious leaders praying day and night, but there is nothing coming forth. You see? Politicians are just campaigning for the promising wind and rain, which is not coming. Religious say, no, it will come from faith. This one said it will come from politics. No, the others who say it will come from traditional belief. Where? Do you understand? You see, those are fighting. If they could have united and say, look, let us go back to the drawing board. Let us see, because this we are not going anywhere. Seriously. It's like you work, you get old, you get your pension. That's it, you start now getting social grant. You are nothing, you work for nothing. You see? But if you could have planned, because what lack in Africa leadership is planning, that is all.
I mean, a simple question is, in honest truth, and sometimes there are people who just want to hide their, you know, to hide their head in the sand, is that a simple question is really, are we better off than we were 20 years ago or 10 years ago? Are we better off? You know, a definite answer is not.
Then we will ask ourselves, better off in terms of what?
In a number of things. Let's say, for example, do we have more people employed than previous year, some years, than last year? You know, do we have more? You know, we can go on a different sector, even agriculture that you're talking about. So in terms of agriculture, are we better off now than we were 20 years ago or 15 years ago? Definitely not.
Not, but we are producing thousands of graduates each and every year. You see? Thousands of graduates. It's just like you say that, okay, let us fill up the Kawango River with water from the depths. You see? You will not identify, you will not see the difference. You see? But what if they could have identified sectors? Okay, look here. In terms of health, we are going to deal with this one. Agriculture this side. Mining this side. Fisheries, okay, now. When the youth graduate, you already put up and say that, okay, we'll absorb maybe 1,200. You see? The only one employing now is policy and defense. That's all. You see? The rest you can't. And even maybe nursing 10, 20 there, 15, somewhere there. But it's supposed to be a planning thing. We have a national planning commission just dormant, to tell you the truth.
The even frightening thing is that the private sector is not growing. That's where the employment should be focused. You know.
That's what I'm saying. Look, when you talk about project, you see now. Let us talk about project. When we say agriculture, it's not only food production only and whatever. There are timbers in Kawango. You see, in the two Kawango. Why can't you put up a processing plant, you see, which can maybe we are having lack of this furniture in schools. Why can't you put up that one? Because it already creates, because we have people with this, how do you, cabinet making, who are graduating.
It's like what the Kavango are saying. You want to take water from Kavango to Windhoek because of factories in Windhoek. Bring the factories here.
That is the thing. Why can't you take Browary and Coca-Cola there? Bring it there. Then it will be at least. If our leaders were really people who can plan, I will not use the word think, because it will be like I am undermining them. But if they could have sat around the table with traditional leaders, religious leaders, community leaders, trade union leaders and politicians, eating on the same plate to say that, look here, we have 7.5 billion available. You see? And the plan A was to take water from the river to Vimbu. Okay, to take water to do what? You see? No, because there are factories and so. Those factories, are they mountains? Huh? Because the thing which you cannot move is a mountain.
Yeah.
You see? Yeah, are they mountains? We are talking about mountains in Vinduk or what? Which cannot come to Rundu, which is impossible. Even faith cannot do that. You see? No, it's just Browari or whatever. No. But how, why can't they bring it here?
Mm.
That 7 billion, okay, government, give them a loan of 1 billion. They can put up a infrastructure here. You see? Now they can just ship the, create employment, and at least maybe the beers will be cheap. Or Coca-Cola can come here, or what is this one? Feedmaster can go there, or whatever. Then you identify those projects, take it away.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
Then the 7 billion will not be spent. It will even take the load off the government's shoulders.
Mm, yeah.
Because even the population in Vinduk will reduce. You see, those Kambashus will come to, you see, in a minus.
Yeah.
Because most of the people will move to Rundu.
They will move to Rundu, yeah.
Yeah, or to Rakana. If you say, no, Rundu, okay, take it to Rakana even if you want.
Mm.
You see? You take it away where the river is. Or take it to Zambezi, or take it to Lord Uther, or at least somewhere where you cannot even. But the thing is, what they do is, are we going to eat if we do this, which is a no? Now, if we put this pipeline from here up to Vinduk, how many, you see now, it's just like how many subcontractors will you need? No, I will need 35 or 60. Okay, don't forget me, man. You see, don't forget me. Yes, no, I won't forget you. Don't forget Thomas. Don't forget Michael. Okay, all of us out of these 7 billion, we will at least accumulate 1.1 billion. You see?
Yeah,
but we will tell them that no, we will employ Namibians only. Those are the statistics which is a deadlock to us. You see, sometimes we must question our government.
Exactly.
We cannot keep on. That's why, you see, in the Bible itself, it has Old Testament and New Testament. You see, it's not like they are competing, but at least for people to have a bit understanding of what was said and what was said this time.
Mm.
But I want a third testament, a third one supposed to come already. Look, if we talk about Noah's Ark, a person like me when I was young, I just believed everything. But the more you grow up, it's a nomad. But how was the food logistic handled?
Mm.
You see that question? The food logistic, how was it handled in the Ark? How? You feed the black mamba, how? You see? What were they eating? Rats? Now, rats were only two. You see? You see now?
Yeah.
There were only two rats. And what did the rat eat? The rat itself. Mm. Insects, there were only two. And how many days? We are talking about 40 days, 40 nights.
Yeah.
You see? Now, in those period, and how was the selection done? You see, those are the things which, those are just a myth, not a myth, it's just like a how can I say now?
And an image, imagery to create a truth, you know, of something. Yeah.
Yeah, just for you. Those things are just put there for you to understand, to use your own understanding, your own knowledge.
Yeah.
To understand what they do they mean by the ark. Where did it took place even on earth? Where? You see? Where? It is in Middle East. Where was that flood? Where was it? You see? Because there must be geographical place where it is.
Yeah.
Its location. You can't find it. You see? Now the thing is, that's why you see the other people created scientists, which we believe they are satanic. But we are using their knowledge.
Yeah.
You see? Even the pastors are reading through using cell phones and laptops and so on for them also to preach the gospel. They are using television invented by scientists, which they believe first and say, no. Those are satanic. Those are evil people. Don't believe in the spirit.
Yeah.
You see? Because what I'm telling you, Michael, now, Mike, now, today, if we don't acknowledge our failure as leaders, Later on, I'm telling you, after 36 years, I can tell you that we did not even produce something like which we can be proud of.
That's actually the point. Sometimes I make to say, look, if our Vision 2030 has failed, let's acknowledge that we have failed and start all over. Yeah, but if we are pretending or just ignoring about it, so it doesn't help us. You know, we said we have failed and this is why we have failed, let's start afresh. Eh?
You see, that's why I'm saying that when you make a decision already And later on your final stage, or you just want to execute the action, that's when you go and consult the people. While you made it, that is really painful.
Mm.
Look at this Minister of Information and Technology, talking about this new identity card. Eh?
Yeah.
Is that really a pending, how can I say, something which will solve people's problem? Why?
Yeah.
Even South Africa and other countries are using normal ID cards.
Yeah.
Oh? And how much will that cost? How much?
Exactly.
And what changes will, how will it improve the livelihood of the people?
Yeah.
The thing is, someone got a tender already. That is where the traditional...
And the question is that a really a priority, you know?
Is that a priority?
Yeah.
You see? Is it a priority? We don't have medicine, lack of schools, we have unemployment and so on. Now, someone from where maybe when they went to visit someone said, no, I can bring up this one, I can do it. Okay, let us agree. Because that thing was signed. You can even demonstrate, the whole Namibian can demonstrate.
Yeah.
That document is signed, that person was already maybe paid. You see? You cannot tell us, okay, we will start rolling it out just this August. You can't do that. You're supposed to go to the people and say, look here, we have this money. We could say, no, put it in education because you see, like AI is now on board and so on, you see?
Yeah.
Or do something if I want to maybe to apply something at work and so on, please integrate it or put it in the government system when it comes to positions so that I can log in and say, okay, which government, which position, okay, where is the vacancy, how can I apply? Those, something like that.
Yeah.
Not this, whatever ID you. Now, later on, they will say, we are the first African country in SADC, you see, to implement what is this modern ID. What is that?
Yeah.
Oh, what is that?
Or the other example, even my daughter, small daughter, she looked at the money, that the new money, and said, why did we have to come up with, there's nothing wrong with the old one, you know. So we spend so much money.
That's what I'm saying. These people are using that tactic.
Yeah.
They are using that tactic to enrich themselves, and we are not even aware of it.
Yeah.
Because they will come up with something which we might think is good to us, but not knowing that it is more good to them and worse to us.
Yeah.
Later on you will cry and say, no, where is the money? The money is gone.
Mm.
We started, okay, look, if we can look at what changes will this ID bring? We had this, what is this, SIM registration, SIM card. Eh? People were queuing up without telling us what will we benefit from it. We have been ending up being scammed worse than before even.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, but the government is bringing up something which they are not telling us what are the advantage or disadvantage of it. What are the advantage of this new ID? What? They will not tell you. If you ask, no, enemy of progress already, you see?
Yeah.
You are enemy of growth, then, man. If I'm enemy of progress,
yeah.
You are an enemy of development.
So imagine you have the EID and you don't have medicine.
Imagine.
Now you're from the rural, from your village now. You have an EID, but you go to the clinic and there's no medicine.
you see, in our population, as small as we are,
yeah.
Is that really necessary? Is that really necessary? What is that? But seriously, we find our leaders, like even the head of state, is quiet about that.
Mm.
The leaders of opposition, but they are quiet.
Yeah.
You see? Was that thing even discussed in parliament? I wonder even. You see? Because we are talking about taxpayers' money. They're supposed to discuss it. But when, you see, like, sometimes I used to get angry with these opposition party leaders also.
Yeah.
You see, when it was the appointment of this, what is this, maybe the chairperson of, or the chairman of electoral commission.
Yeah.
They were on arms, you see. No, we won't. But this one, they are quiet. Why?
Yeah, exactly.
when it comes to these tenders and so on, they are quiet. Are they beneficiaries also? You see? Because these are the things which they're supposed, these are just things which they're supposed to ponder on to say that, why are you rolling out this one? What is wrong with the old ideas?
I always follow the money. Why are we spending this much money? For what purposes?
Eh? Yes.
Yeah.
Even this the SIM, the SIM card, they're supposed to say no. Even the new currency, notes, they're supposed to, imagine, they introduce the notes, for you to want to bank it outside at the ATM, it has not been accepted.
Mm.
You want to buy electricity at the vending machine, it's not been accepted. It took us 2 years almost.
Yeah.
You must go inside the shop and change get the old currency, you see, note, sorry, yeah, which you can use in the machine, but the new one. How can you implement or put up something which you did not even, you see? That's why if you will run the mic if you see a baby born and he start walking.
Mm.
You see? You or even laughing or even have teeth or even start journey, you will run. Because it's impossible. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, what we should do now.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are last day, what the leader should do now? Seriously, we must look at each and every law or policy which has been implemented before even. Let us go back, especially National Planning Commission. We had NDP, NDP 1, NDP 2, 3, 4. I don't know, maybe we have 10.
Yeah.
One this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Vision 2030 is only 3 years ahead. What have we achieved?
Yeah.
Mm. And we go back and say, okay, the old man, the founding father, put up this one, and he was alive. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah? In 2000, in the year 2000, they should have asked him, what did you mean by Vision 2030? You see, even when he was now at his last days and say, no, we want, because this dream of yours, we cannot just let it go like that.
Yeah.
You see, we cannot let it die a natural death. What have you planned? What was your plan? How are we going to achieve it? He would have explained, maybe. You see?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they would have taken it from there because he was the one who put up this National Planning Commission.
Mm.
But where is it even now? Who is the director? Who? I don't know. You see? But that are the one who's supposed to track every thing which was there to say that, no, what did we achieve for constructing Nekatar Dam? You see? What did we achieve for constructing a railway from Tumem or to the north? You see? Can we also fall in the same trap? No. What should we do with the money if it comes? Okay. Those are the things. But now, wait, after this ID nonsense, you will hear that, no, it is 7.4 billion,
yeah,
or 5.5 billion.
Exactly.
Just gone like that.
Yeah. Huh? And imagine how much is actually the ministry. If you look at the budget that was actually given to the ministry, and how much money then would actually be used, you know, for the EID, you'd say it's money used in the wrong priority.
Now, Michael,
which are limited resources that we have.
Sometimes prophecy is not we must rely on you see things. Sometimes it came visible, you see, then we ignore it.
Yeah.
Remember COVID-19, you see? There were no schools. It was, we were based or forced to go on or to rely on e-learning.
Yeah.
You see now?
Yeah.
Now, is it not possible that something worse than COVID will come where everyone will be restricted not to go to school?
Yeah.
Then the minister should have looked and put those in place and say, okay, when it comes, I have my gun, I have my bullet, I have my ayonga, I have everything. Let the battle start. But we are caught off guard already, always.
Yeah.
Now, you come, maybe it will be...
I mean, we're even caught off guard with the flood or drought that we know it's going to come.
Those are the things. Because there is no way you can survive without you having been prepared.
Yeah.
It's like when your salary comes, you did not even budget for it. When your salary comes in, I swear within 2 days or 1 day, you are broke. You see? Because you don't plan. You don't use... That's how we are. You start begging.
Yeah. Yeah.
So seriously, this is very bad. Because what we should understand now, what is going to happen, I am telling you later on. That's why you see, we, all the people, this social grant was handled by a pupa, isn't it?
Yeah.
A pupa, it was changed to NAMPOS. What happened? Overcrowded. Now what is happening? Some people are not getting their money, some elders.
Yeah.
You see now?
And we lost informals and informal traders.
Yeah.
We lost, that's what's a big, it has helped many, many people when this pension, they are coming, you know?
Yes, and it was accurate. If they said tomorrow 1 o'clock, it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Now people from the village and elderly goes to town to get his pension money at NAMPOS just to be told that you are out from, you are not in the system.
Yeah.
And where is that money then? We say those are the things, or else we would have said, look here, we are going to change the system from November to, or let me say from April to August. Please, the requirement will be A, B, C, D. Everyone is required to go and rectify or update, you see, to update your documents. Failure to do that after those you will see that you are paid, you will not get paid.
Yeah.
At least people could not prepare, but this one just like a shock. You see? Like a shock. Going there, kururuk, say, no, meme, your system, system, you see? When that person, you even you sit there, those ladies, how will you feel that old woman with a stick going back? Eh? You don't know the situation at home, but you see these ministries, and so they are laughing, drinking coffee.
Yeah.
Mm. Seriously, we must not behave like angels.
All right, man.
No. Okay, all right.
Okay, thank great.
We will communicate.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Even off air, don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay, I will get you a number.
Okay, great.
Sharp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our 666-091, our 666-091. So, yeah, seriously, now when we're talking about the celebrating this ranking, we have to ask ourselves, are we building a diversified economy, you know, or are we just, we could be just the next oil frontier, you know, that will make a few people very rich, that make decisions that are, you know, are not in the interest of the nation, while the rest of us are watching from the sideline, you know? Yeah. So, a very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Big Mike. How are you?
Good morning, man. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me dive in. Into the discussion.
Oh, okay. I thought you were driving and you want to stop. Okay.
No. Just say, let me dive in.
Oh, you said diving. I thought driving. Okay. Yeah.
No. So, yeah, it's good. It's a good presentation.
Yeah.
And the rating actually showing good positive side. And it's good that we now capitalize on those areas that are ranked in there. And I think especially when you talk about the integration of the system, our financial system, I was listening to the speech of the cabinet briefing of South Africa. The president's, the minister in the president's office. And there they were now talking about Angola, Kwanza Zulu, and things like that. And then I say, wonderful.
Mm.
So now if we are ranked on that level, and I think that those are some of the good things that you can say, yes, good plans, like what the National Planning Commission is doing. They have been engaging to some kind of stakeholder and how to really align our strategies, our funding, because they are a custodian of ensuring that the policies and all those acts that are being crafted.
Yeah.
So they are in line, with our developmental goals, and they are doing good. And I love them because when you are developing your policies, whatever, they come in there, they have the parts, and the cabinet knows that, yes, this one or Mr. Assembly, it must be formulated based on our guidelines, our standards, operating procedures. So I think it's good to, if you are ranked in that manner. It is for us now, I think, as the region, to now look at those areas, analyze them, and then you see what is our stake in them. What is your stake? What are my stakes? What is it that is in there for us?
Yeah.
So in the area that people have, identified in terms of cooperation and technical agreement with the delegation that went to China, I am reading and then I'm seeing a lot of things that we can do. So for us now, because you might not have the technical know-how, or even the financial muscles, you might not have it, but we have got something to give.
Yeah.
If we can just take a risk a little bit, like you were saying yesterday,
yeah,
just a very well calculated risk. And then you know that this is the game. You know, it doesn't come easy. You have to go some pain. So, Mike, let me end up here.
All right,
so
man.
It's a good conversation, and we see how we can grab some of this opportunity if we can really organize ourselves. Because my own concern is that, are we well organized?
Yeah.
Even if there are integrated systems that are put in there to respond to our needs, how are we well organized?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Well.
All right. Okay. Yeah. And let me raise another point. The Orange Basin is an offshore. Okay. It's an offshore. That means the oil operations are out there in the oceans, okay? So when you need to understand some of these things. So it's there out there in the oceans. So not in our towns and in our villages. So the job that come from offshore drilling are highly specialized engineers, technicians, geologists, and this was the former president was to. Used to say, Kefimbo takomo tatiakwe tu indeni mukilongo geologist nayokwe kilonga until he went to go and study geologist. As an example, to say even no mukurupe wange, you know, even in my old age, I can go and study and become a geologist. You know, he is pushing that, the founding president, you know, go and study, become geologist. So this is an offshore. And the jobs that come from offshore drilling are really highly, highly, highly specialized. So, and many of those positions will be filled by experts, at least in the early years, unless we do something. So local hiring come in support services, you know, support services and logistics and caterings and securities, Those are real job, of course. They are real job, yes, but they are not the kind of high-skilled, high-wage position that transform a community. Yeah? So the question is, Uncle Bon is asking, what is Namibian doing to make sure our people are trained and ready to take up the better-paying jobs, you know, when they come? What are we doing? Yeah. So the report also mentioned Namibia green hydrogen ambitions. You know, now green hydrogen is one of the buzzwords that goes through around a lot. You know, so hydrogen is a fuel that can power factories. You know. A fuel that can power factories, can power vehicles, even entire industries without producing carbon emissions. You know? So, but to make it now green, because that's what green hydrogen, to make it green, you have to produce it using renewable energy like solar and wind. Okay? And Namibia, my dear friend, has some of the best sun and wind in the world. It's not that our sun is different from other sun. It's just that the geographically where we are make us having the best sun and the best wind, you know, in the world. Yeah? It's the same sun, but it's just geographical where we are that make a difference. So the idea, do we have a different sun? When I say we have the best, you know, the best sun and wind in the world. So no, it's not that we have a different sun. Okay. Now the idea is that we could become a major producer and exporter of green hydrogen to Europe and other markets that are desperate, really desperate to cut their carbon footprint. So the government has been pushing this hard. And there are some serious projects in the pipeline around load dreads and
Komiedhe murongo na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omaruhiro. Imba o maoronga neno owe uhaka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
No. So welcome back. All right. Our time, 30 minutes past the hour of 9. Now, so we are doing some smaller nyana, some serious project that's in the pipeline around Ludritz and Tau Kaib National Park. But here's the thing about green hydrogen. So it's still a new industry, not only in Namibia. The technology is evolving. You know, the global demand is not yet fully established. It's not something that, you know, there's this fully established global demand, you know, like oil. You understand? So the infrastructure is needed. We need still infrastructure. We need desalination plants. You know, you hear people talking about electrolyzers. We need export, export port. And all this actually costs billions. It costs billions. Sometimes it's good when these things are entertained and all that. And always must listen to who is speaking. So who is speaking? So the timeline is long. Absolutely long. We're talking about projects that will take 5 to 10 years before they start producing at scale. At scale. So how long have we been talking about green hydrogen? Where are we so far? We're producing on a small scale wherever we have some, you know, we even hyphen iron. But it's small scale, not industrial scale. So when the government talks about green hydrogen as if it is already transforming our economy, we need to be very, very, very careful. You know, sometimes what we're saying is that sometimes our people go overboard, try to make a point or try to, you know, and that's what the previous caller said, that, you know, we gotta be careful, you know. It is a potential game changer. You will hear, you know, that's going to change. And it's a game changer. It's a potential game changer. Yes. But potential is not the same as reality. Okay. Right now, green hydrogen is more of a promise than a payday. It's more of a promise than a payday, you know, a promise, and a promise, as we all know, can be broken. A promise can be broken. Yeah, so a promise can be broken. Now, looking at what actually makes us now where we are in terms of rating, I always said, you know, follow the money. You know, let's look at the actual investment. Who put us there? Who is putting money where? Okay, the reasons why we rank first in Africa and second in the world is because someone is putting money somewhere. Okay. Now let us look at the actual project that contributed to this ranking. There are projects that actually contributed to this ranking because the detail matters. It does matter. So there is Nopal carbon farming. We have Nopal carbon farming, which has put about 66 million Namibian dollar into large scale carbon farming and biofuel production on a graded land. So carbon farming is basically using land to absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and then selling carbon credit to companies that needed to offset the their emissions. So that's basically what it is. It is an interesting model. I think it's a very interesting model. Take degraded land, restore it, and make money from it. You know, make money from it. So, but $66 million, well, it's not massive investment. It is a start, okay? But it's a start. Nopo carbon farming, it's one of the project. And then there is the Cocosep gold project, with about $381 million Namibian dollar invested. Now, this one of the most promising new gold discoveries in the country. So, and they are advancing it toward actually mine development. It's not really yet, you know, there, but they are advancing to a mine development. Now, $381 million is a serious money. That's a serious money. Gold mining brings, you know, it brings you job, it brings you royalties, it brings you export, it brings you export revenues. Yeah, but we have seen, okay, it's not just that we also have to be cognizant in terms of, we have seen this happening before in Namibia. So mining company comes in, they extract the resources, they make their profit, and then when the oil runs out, they leave. You know, it's not, yes, as much as we get excited, but we also being realistic of what is happening in the country. Okay. So, yeah, in terms of books, because sometimes this is just looking in terms of my concern and my thinking. And this is what I want you also to think. When you hear all this report and, you know, how we're doing well, that, you must always ask, how is that translate into my community where I live? How does that translate, you know, having something in my pocket, putting food on my table? Because you hear brilliant development and discoveries and, you know, projects that are happening. Yeah? So the question always remains. For me, the question always, what remains for the community? What infrastructure? What skills? What local business survive after the mine closes, for example? Yeah? So if we do not nail down local content requirement and community benefit agreement up front, we will be having the same conversation in 20 years that we are having now about Rossing or other mines. Yeah? So we need to lock down some of those. And we have to have this conversation. Yeah? We got to have this conversation. So, and there is also ISPS, a solar operation in Namibia, so-called ISPS, Solar Operations Namibia, with about $100 million Namibian dollar for a solar plant supplying clean energy to mining operations. This one is a smart move, I have to say. All right, this one is a smart move. Mines need power, and solar is a cheaper and cleaner than diesel. So I think this one, it's really, really, I would say that's a smart move. Okay, the ISPS, a solar operation, Namibia, with about $108 million Namibian dollars. So, yeah, these are what contributed to what rank as, you know, second and first in Africa. And then you have the Kudu biomass, okay, which are about $120 million Namibian dollar for a biomass facility that tends, you know those, how do they call it? Encroacher bush. They tend an encroacher bush into a sustainable biomass product. So now, this one is particularly interesting for us now, for ordinary Namibians. Yeah, encroacher bush is that is that in, what is the word? Is that invasive, yeah, it's the word, invasive thorn bush that has taken over millions of hectares of our farmland, okay, making it, kind of making it useless for grazing, you understand? So if someone can turn that bush now into product that make money, I think that's a win-win. That's a win-win. Yeah. So you restore the land and you create job at the same time. You understand? I think, yeah, and that's what that project was all about, you know. And these are some that actually, you know, that make us rank, first in Africa and second in the world. So, yeah. So, and one thing you have to understand is that, so the ranking measures investment relative to GDP. That means it's comparing Namibia to other countries with similar size economy. So it's not saying, hey, we are second biggest investment destination in the world in absolute terms. That's not what it's saying. Yeah, just, you know, be careful. So we are not, and we are not even close. We are not even close. We talk about the United States. We talk about China. We talk about UK, you know. They pull in hundreds of billions of dollars in FDI every year. We pull in a fraction of that, a fraction of that. So, but because our economy is small and even a few big projects make our ratio look impressive, you know? So that's why, okay? Put it in the context. I want you to understand this in a context. It's like saying a guy who earns, okay, let me, if I got it right. So a guy who earns $2,000 a month and get a $500 dollar bonus in outperforming a guy who earns $50,000 a month and get a $5,000 bonus. You understand? So the percentage looks better, but the actual money is still a lot less. You understand? So, well, that's the best I can do. So, yeah, and there is something else the ranking does not capture. There is something else the ranking does not capture. What happened to that investment after the announcement? Yeah? How many announcements of investment that you have heard? Then what happened to them? How much of the promised money actually arrives? You know, sometimes at the beginning of the year, you hear sometimes, and this is where we are. Sometimes you hear all this amount of money that is coming for that project. How many of that actually has arrived? We don't know. And this is very important because it's at one point if we are in dark, we tend to think, but what happened to those billions and billions of money that comes in? What happened to the, now, how many of the announced project actually get completed? How many jobs are actually created? But we don't know how many, whether that amount that has promised has arrived. So, and when we're talking actual, how many jobs that created, are they permanent? Are they temporary? You know? How much of the revenue actually stays in Namibia versus being repatriated as a profit for foreign shareholders? So there are so many information that we don't even know. Eh? Maybe we all hear that words, you know, 228,000 jobs will be created. You know, when you are hungry, so Oshenge udite ini maiko inyaku udite aliga. Okay, penny tapu mani ko shifima. Penny vata puliwa, you know. So esto karamba kuchae poimo penny kilometer mirongo etatu kuya kuta kulu. Odi no du daga odeke kuchopno shifima tashiriwa. Shiri penny, you know. Yeah, so, Yeah, there's so much. I think we need to learn. First of all, we need to learn to read. That's one thing. I think that's also one thing that helped me. I must admit as well.
This winter, Washambamo is turning your shopping into winning. Spend 200 Namibian dollars or more at any shop in Washambamo, and you could win a 500 Namibian dollars shopping voucher every Friday. The more you shop, the more chances you have to win. Don't miss out. Visit Washambamo in Ondangwa from 3rd to 31st July 2026. Shop, enter your till slip with your name and number into the competition box located in the mall, and stand a chance to win a shopping voucher from Washambamo. Don't miss our lucky winner live draw on Eagle FM every Friday from 1500 hours.
But to shop until you drop dead. not literally dead. All right. Yeah, so I was saying that I think that's a disease in this country, and maybe in Africa. You know, we really don't read. As I said, that's also an advantage that I don't used to read much. I used to read. I read a lot. You know, it's one of my passion actually, reading. But compared to how much I read because of the show, and that has enriched me really, really tremendously. I see the benefit of actually doing the show. You know, now you have to go and ask questions, and you know, how am I going to present this if I don't know it? So I have to go and ask, make sure that I got the right information to be able to bring it here. You know, it's reading. It's really give us, you know, an understanding to be able to engage, and that's why we don't engage, you know. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, morning, Mike. How are you?
You sound very far. Maybe you went to London or what?
No, man. Maybe the radio is still the same also, man, with the fruit I'm having.
Are you speaking through the Bluetooth?
Oh, it is. Oh, it's what I took it off, man. Sorry, man. Yeah, but I will take it off. I think it's the Bluetooth on the radio.
Yeah, today you sound very low.
Okay.
I'm speaking through the. Now you can hear me.
Yeah, now I can hear you. Okay, you were too,
like,
you were too far. Yeah.
Too far, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, just on the Bluetooth.
Oh, okay.
I just realized.
Yeah, now I can hear.
I thought I took it off, then it's still responding.
Oh, now I can hear you. Yeah. Mm.
All right.
Mm.
How is the morning?
No, so far so good. It's actually my last day today on the show, hosting the show. I was still around Eagle FM on the other program. Yeah.
Oh, okay. They are changing your slot or just the other program?
No, the slot the slot could also change. It will. I think Unpacking the Day will start where now. Kutha Mosha start, you know, from 6 to, I think, to 9, you know, and then Kutha Mosha from 9 to 11, I think, yeah. So I still have to be confirmed, but I won't be hosting the show anymore, yeah. I might come in some other day, yeah, now and then, but, you know, there would be someone who's hosting it. So I need to a little bit to do some other things as well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like that, my friends.
Yeah.
How is life? But only that, don't go, but you guys are not even calling in.
Don't go?
That's what don't go, and then you don't even show up anymore.
No. As I said, I'm still around. I'll be still around. Yeah.
Yeah, I will. Mm. Because you guys are changing life of the people when they are listening to you. And, for you to stay away without saying any words,
we love it here. We love it here. We love doing this, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Dr. Mike, when you come to development and the Vision 2030 and everything, because I think in the morning we even talk about it, like this green hydrogen and with plants. Because the look of thing, like when you're looking at green hydrogen, this is it's happening in the first test time because European countries, they need energy.
Yeah.
Because they've been relying to Russia. And now Russia says that they starting off the war with Ukraine.
Yeah.
They have to look for alternatives.
Exactly.
And they find Namibia, especially the German day. They are in this...
German and the Netherlands, yeah.
Netherlands, yeah. This cooperation with Namibia. Not really cooperation, but it's enemy colonialism because they are still owning the farms in Namibia.
Yeah.
Now, they are just like a, returning away, like returning back the way in a different form. Not anymore with guns, with something else. And as our government, we need to ask, what is there for our people?
Yeah.
Remember, some of these countries I'm mentioning, they are contaminating even if you are traveling in that side. They have to ask you what the people are going to do, what, how much is on your bank account, what's on. Not like the other country where you can just pick up your passport, passport, then buy a ticket, and then you travel. Here, they require you to have a visa.
Mm.
And this is a country with you. We are saying we are collaborating and business and what. But what is there for our ordinary people?
That should always be our question. Anywhere yeah. we are, what is in it for our ordinary yeah. people?
Exactly.
Yeah. That should always be our question.
And the problem when you are seeing this is that our diplomats and what they all look for themselves and their kids. Because they're already having those diplomatic passport and whatever, they are not required that to travel. Yeah. But I'm talking about having a kid who want to make it for a taxi driver or a security guard. What is there for her or him? That's the problem. Now, Germany, we are giving, we need to give it our...
You know one thing, the thing is here, the thing is that we hear billions and billions coming into the country. We hear good report of where, now we, as we talk about Namibia ranking second in the world and the first in Africa in attracting investment. You know, now when you hear all that and you still relinquish in poverty, and then you kind of like, how do I reconcile these two? You know? How do I reconcile these two? And sometimes it just, and also sometimes, I think we reporters and media, I think there are certain things that we need to learn, you know? Or on how we communicate. Most of the time, we are reporting just what the person is communicating to us. We don't go and look. Okay, maybe in terms of how we're presenting to the people, you know, we don't go and look at. Okay, if we are told this is what happening, this is what the job will be. This is how many job we will be. You know, we will be. We don't go now and looking at. Okay, how realistic this is. So where are we now? What, you know, looking at many other things that that you need to inform your community all about, your country all about, okay?
You know, Mike, when you're having a language like that, as a reporter,
yeah.
You put, we are number one in the world, what? We are second in the world, whatever, in Africa, whatever.
Yeah.
Then you put up even Havana, with a broken toilet for 2 years ago. Or somewhere in the Congo, person drinking water was like a cup from the sewage.
Yeah.
Called Mzima. And then you put all those pictures together.
Yeah.
Maybe you come, you put one for hours break there for somebody else which is looking good. Then you look at this kabashi which is depleting at the Havana or Goriahab.
Yeah.
The problem is that also our people, when we are seeing this language, we are clapping our hands. And you know yourself where you are in your situation. And you don't even like compare like to take care. I mean, because we are not a lot of us, we don't like to read. And that's the problem.
Yeah, we don't.
And we forget so easily even. Because the thing is just hurt that time when we are talking about. And later on, nobody, because this is a man friend, nobody care. Because I have money to buy beer, isn't it?
You become comfortable with that little casserole that you are given, you know. And you don't realize that every year, every month, the cost of living goes up. Your salary in 12 months, it doesn't pay exactly what it pays now.
I'm telling you, Mike, if a municipality is already proposing 4%, and you don't see that is going to impact you, because you are living in Kampala, you don't care about it. But at the end of the day, the bread is still going up. Most people are looking at it.
And you are being told, and you are still being told the project, the investment that goes into this project, and you can now thinking, okay, green hydrogen has come in. Shouldn't that reduces our, shouldn't we our now cost, maybe our energy prices goes down? But instead, we still hear that it goes up.
It's up, yeah.
That's what I said. How do we reconcile with all this good reporting and project that are, you know, where people are praising about? We could be, you know, the regional hump, and, you know, and you're going to be okay.
And the fact is that when you look at our people, I think they become also listened to hunger. Yeah. And I take a drink. So I see what a good if it was, otherwise people are supporting a lot of question.
Yeah. I think the biggest question we need to ask in Namibia is the developing agenda. Is it our agenda?
Exactly.
Seriously, the developing agenda in Namibia, is it our agenda? Are we driving that developing agenda? Or someone else? We can claim it's our own, but someone else is driving that
agenda. Someone else is doing it, for us.
Yeah.
And it is not working. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes, guys, in life, that's what we do in life. If you know that you've been in those 60 relationships, with this girl, I think it's time, man, to move on. Yeah, because sometimes to just to be with the person, then you're like, this person is going to change. That person never change. Because it's very hard also to. And that is the Namibian government I'm talking about. Not that we take it or do it with Zulaga. Corruption is too much. Wherever they are starting something, there always corruption involved. You guys are talking about the pension, the grant.
Yeah.
Now, instead of that, now with Namposta, we think it was going to be transparent. Now people are being removed. Some are not getting, some are getting the fringes. Now you wonder, if I've been in the system for 5 years, how come my name is not going to appear there? Are you not supposed just to go to a forum, a pooper, get all the information of those older pensions, put it in your system, use it the way it used to be? Verify everybody's if it's in life, it's still alive.
But we need to talk, in terms of, we need to speak the truth. The truth is that we don't have money anymore, all right? We need to cut on the money, you understand? You know, so, and cutting on the money, it actually bring us the inconvenience what we see now. And unless we are, we become truthful on what we do, rather than come, you know, sugarcoat,
but Mike, even Ndone, we've been cutting. Since the president took over, she's been cutting money there and money there. And you can see that money is supposed to be paid up now. Because I'm telling you, learning a government, just like even you are learning what, how can I put it, something like a generating income so quickly. Maybe like you are having a fat kick. You are buying a fat kick. And you know that when it's break time, teacher will come to buy, especially when they are out.
Yeah.
They will quickly learn out. And as a government, it's the same, because the moment you learn out of this month, next month you will be able to recover, because we are collecting money everywhere. And our government, you remember the member when she took over, she cut off the what medical, that money is a lot of money, supposed to be pro big. Okay, now this is done with a non-post. Now we heard also with the NTA is coming to take over the tender of what? There are so many things are happening. And remember, those are processes which used to create jobs.
Yeah.
Like a pupa, it used to be a lot of people are benefiting out. Even psychology when it comes to older people, because they meet only once a month. They will talk about, they even feel happy.
Yeah.
When they are there. Now, Namposta, I will get a look at Nenge, I come off in Bamwe, Nenge, I'm on a time.
Chesu Ripoto, Esu Ripono, Otam Tanguneke, in your Mipeo, Mipeo, Daphina,
somehow we are the one who are creating this poverty. It's what I'm telling you every time, Kucha. Those people who used to sell their faludu.
Yeah.
Remember, when you are going to get die, just like what has happened to Chinatown there. My friends, I think our government sometimes, you cannot understand what our aim.
Yeah. Now, you know one thing I have come to realize, honestly, is that I think, and I just believe that we have people who, in position, in strategic positions, that honestly are not competent, that they don't know what they are doing.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah, that's a truth. Yeah, and that's costing us. That's costing us.
But Mike, is that so hard for the president to take a, then if he go to what, even just to local, just to organize even the local council only, without a lot of people involved?
Yeah.
Then ask you, what are you doing in your community? What is needed there? To just listen to those people.
Yeah.
Because there are the people every day accounting,
I think one thing we need to change, it's our political arrangement in terms of our political party, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we need to change, you know, and really look at who, because if we go with that system all the time, it hasn't brought any development. It hasn't bring any, you know, what we want. Let's say what we aspire, our ambitions are far from it. So then we have to look at a system that bring us closer to that. You know,
and the thing, the fact is that make when you look at we are going down every day, every year.
Yeah.
Now we are going down instead of going up. We are reversing.
Even if it means we throw away democracy, let's come up with African democracy or whatever.
It's what I'm saying. That is what I was saying, that, you know, they are saying military government is not good, but we see it working to other countries. And that's why even in South Africa, I think they done that research. And a lot of people are commenting that it's better to go for military. Because this democracy is not working enough.
I still believe, you know, it's just leadership crisis. It's leadership crisis. You know, you can still have, within democracy, you can still have a leader that, you know, that have a vision.
Yeah, but
you know,
at that time they are working.
Yeah.
Other countries, they are developing, they are using this democracy that they are developing.
Yeah.
But the thing is that for us, we don't want to use that loophole where we can penetrate with our own idea. In the day, we are sidelining the people who are not, who are competent, who can ask questions. We don't want them because they're asking a lot of questions to us. We want somebody who just press us like, oh, yes. Yes, my Mrs. Oh, your president, you are doing very well. But that person is not taking you anywhere because he doesn't see any fault in you. He's seeing it, but he's just buying face. And it's what we have. Especially when he's starting to govern, you talk about even CEO or whatever, and you talk about it to everybody, all of the directors. You never see only few which you see. Is countering even in the minister, saying, no, this minister, you are wrong. You are not supposed to do this.
No,
how many of them, even the trade union, did you see even the trade union attacking even this incompetent minister of labor? Never.
Yeah. The thing is this.
How many times we have been now, Total Energy, schooling people there, now the president, they have to go herself there. But we have a minister there, and she says, if you are not competent, I'm going to fire. We are waiting. The especially the Minister of Health and the Minister of Labor. These are people who are really not doing anything at all.
Yeah. So
but now they're saying she's the one who's going to Total Energy to see what is happening there. If you are looking at Total Energy, this is a big company, and this is a company which you are talking about like taking over our oil.
Yeah.
And they are giving people, are already starting paying people for that.
Yeah, and if you don't have a regulatory framework that policies that protect your people, protect your interest, you're gonna lose. You know, now they will take you to court and lose.
that's the thing.
Exactly. You have no protection. You know, at all.
You know, Mike, what I want us to come up with is that when you have a job description, especially for the minister, and then the minister is not paying, there must be evaluation. Why didn't do it? Okay, now this, I think you can excuse us.
Yeah.
We need somebody else to take over.
You know what I want is this, you know, like what you're saying. If when the president point, when you now, because it becomes like when you are appointed as a president in your party, it's like you are all knowing now. Okay?
Yeah.
So there must be a committee now, a really, really committee within the party that looking at, okay, who are we going to make the prime minister? It's not just up to me as the one who is appointed as a president and said, okay, I want Mantume to become the prime minister because we're a friend or something. No, there must be now, okay, who we want to be the prime minister, who we want to be, you know, the minister of agriculture, who?
Exactly.
It shouldn't be left to an individual on their whim to decide who they should, because okay, Gadwinina upon Aka Otaro Kalava, very loyal. Yeah, now your basis of choosing people who run this institution that they have to develop this country is based on royalty, you know, and friendship or the people that in that group. Yeah? No.
You know, Michael, when you are saying something like that, I'm even thinking of like what about to, especially when you are voting, because we are having this, what do you call it? Cabinet, National Assembly election and what. What about now we start having names there? And you vote accordingly when you are voting, even the president, there must be a follow, like this is a minister who are going to be. I know it will be a long process. But I think it will be better. Even in we can use it as a social media. When you're saying we are developing, we are going with AI, digital ID.
Yeah.
Can we come up with something like that? When we are voting ourselves, who wanted to be a minister of who? What? Because now the president is only choosing here people. Some of we never know even. We know this is, I know the minister of health before. She was a social media influence.
Yeah.
But this guy from Labour, I never know. And now, to give that person that the whole capacity of Minister of Health And then we can see that now we have older people who are dying because there's no medicine.
Yeah. Even the pot that we use, yeah. Even those pot, you know, you could have actually have a lot of people in the pot that are not contributing. That's why we have some in the people in the parliament. They never even utter a word. You know?
I'm telling you, up to now, there are a lot of them there. Never even stand up to question like, okay, or to address this. Never. They are all quiet. And they want to tell me that that person is just there for, not only because he's in the list or because of politician affiliation.
I'm saying the system, the political system is absolutely need an overhaul. It's very absolutely much. Need an overhaul to address our interests, to meet our, you know, the way we want to run, the what we want to achieve, you know. So, yeah, the system, it doesn't address our ambitions at all.
I'm telling you, Mike. Now, let us go to the digital ID you guys were talking about. You see, the joke of the day is that one, or the joke of the year.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, nobody even questioning why we are going this way. What is the use? How many Namibians even able to travel using that digital ID?
Yeah.
Okay, what is a beneficial for a person who is living like maybe in Okakwade, in Wangwena?
Yeah, no, the caller just was making an example. Yeah, but that's not the main discussion anyway. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm. Just for example, anyway.
Yeah.
Because now we see, it doesn't really contribute to our life.
Yeah.
When you look at of it, it doesn't contribute at all. Because the moment that I'm now, we have already people who don't have hard copy.
Yeah.
ID. We already, and the people are traveling to go to get that. Just imagine you are living in Wangwena. And the headquarter is in Nana. Then you are living somewhere in the Ongenga Day or near to Ongwelume. Just imagine, you are traveling the whole morning to go to Nana.
Mm.
Then when you reach there, the queue is long. Then you have to, they will tell you come tomorrow. How many times you have to show up? Guys, man, sometimes the way I'm looking at the way we are spending our money, unnecessary, and then you look at it the other way, where people are even now listening, like yesterday, in the media, we have a kid who is dying for hunger in Kahanja. And they're wondering now, people are expressing the money in unnecessary things.
But those are the ones, when you have the, when you, though, it's only those you hear when, because of the, of the media or some, of the news.
Yeah, what about the news?
There are other people who are dying because of that. You don't even hear. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, man. Sometimes when you are living, and this is what I'm telling you, guys, sometimes the way we are looking at our country. And you look at the future. Because sometimes, some of us, we don't care about ourselves anymore.
Yeah.
Where we are, we know that at least I try my best even. I never where my life is going to end up, not the way I want it. But I don't want this same mistake which happened to me to happen to my kids or my grandkids.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
All right, man.
And we are not continuing this way, man.
Yeah.
Things need to be changed, my friend, man.
Yeah.
Seriously.
All right.
All right.
Okay, great. Yeah. 08333 66091 08333 66091. Come through and have your say. Yeah. So the other, maybe the other point, also raised this point is that the NIPDB, say this ranking
reflect the government's commitment to creating good investment environment. As I said, there's credit into that. There's some credit, you know. But some of the biggest factor drive, there's some, the biggest factor driving this investment, which is like oil and oil discovery, geographic locations, where we are, the sun and wind. These are natural advantages, you know, not policy achievement. I think we sometimes, as I said, and this is one thing that when we report or something, we ignore certain realities, you know, we don't put facts nicely or something. So the government did not create the oil. The government did not create the sunshine. And what the government can take credit for is maintaining stability. That can take credit for. Keeping the legal framework predictable. That they can be credited for. Not scaring investors away with maybe with sudden policy changes. That we can credit it for. So those are the real achievements. You know, you understand? Those are the real achievements. But let us not confuse the natural endowment with good governance. Okay? And a country can have oil and still fail its people if the governance is poor. So, yeah. Now, so where does this leave us? Namibia is, we are on the radar. That's a fact. The world is watching us. The money is starting to flow. But the real test is not whether we can attract investment. That's not the real test. It is whether we can convert that investment into a real transformation for the 3 million people who call this country home. You know, can we make sure the oil wealth does not become a curse? Can we build a green hydrogen industry that actually create thousands of Namibians' job? Can we negotiate deals that, you know, that keep a fair share of the profit, okay, in this country? So can we use this moment to fix things that are still broken? The red tape, the skills gap, the inequality that keeps too many of our people in poverty. These are not the question for the government alone. They are question for all of us. For all of us. For the union who must negotiate for local workers. For the community who must demand their fair share. So for the young people who must prepare themselves, for the jobs that are coming. And also for us as a media. Yes, including this radio station. So who must keep asking questions even when the headlines are glowing? Yeah? All right. We want to hear from you. I want to know, do you feel this investment boom in your life? Is this investment, do you feel it in your life? Has your community seen any difference? Are you optimistic about the future? Or do you think this is just another round of big promises that will leave ordinary Namibian exactly where they are? So, yeah, this is Unpacking the Day. You know, the line is open. And the conversation starts. You know, let's talk. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Michael.
Yes.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm not good.
You're not good?
Yeah.
It's still good.
Because of the news that you gave.
The news?
That you gave.
Which one is that? I have given quite a number. Which one?
The one about you.
Oh, the one about me.
Not presenting that this program anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's life, man. It's life, you know.
That made me not feeling good now.
In 2 days or you see, in 2 days or 3 days, whoever come in, you'll be feeling, whoa, now we get something good. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
We had Michael.
Yeah.
So when he left, at least he lost the hope. But then you came in.
Yeah.
Then it was indeed a good replacement of you to that Michael again, one less.
Yeah.
But now you tell us that you are now also going.
You know, you something better is coming, believe me, you know? Yeah.
It's just a bit that we can't say, please stay.
Change, well, it changes all what we have in life, my dear. You know, change is all what we have in life, yeah?
It is true, but then we were almost been used to the way how you put things there on the air, the way how you present your business program.
Yeah, no,
I was almost happy when you said that this unpacking the day will be now from 6 to 9.
Yeah.
Then I thought, oh, wow, now I'll be listening to you now every morning. But really, when you say that, this is the last show to present on the air.
Yeah.
Maybe me not feel good again.
Yeah, no. That's life. It's life, man. As I said, it's life. I'm not completely out of Eagle FM. I still have another program Saturday. And I may still come in sometime. You never know. You know, I must still come in sometimes. But it's just other responsibility as well, you know. So it's life.
Now, which program are you going to be presenting on there?
No, I have a program already on Saturday, 11, from 11 to...
That's the way you go.
Yeah, to 1 o'clock. That's called Mind Matters.
But you wanted you Monday to Fridays.
Monday to Fridays?
And I don't want the, yeah, I want them passing the day because at least 50 people in the morning, that's when they listen. Like Monday to Friday.
Yeah, you know what?
Like I'm passing the day, you were sorted for this program, my lord.
Yeah, you know what? If you guys organize yourself and toy on the street that we want Mike to stay, I will stay, you know. So if you go and toy in the street, you know, with a placard, you know, go to FM, come to. No, I'm not asking you to do that. So.
Yeah. But for sure, I think I'm one of the listeners who's going to miss you because. We don't know what will take place for Monday. The person is going to take over from you.
Yeah.
During this program of unpacking the day, this is going to be well vested with the current affairs and the, some of the knowledge that you have for this type of program.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I will really miss you.
No, that's
because
good.
I was almost used now Monday to Friday. I'm listening to your show.
Yeah,
it was so much informative and so much educative in a lot.
Yeah. Now, as I said, I think when changes comes, it's always, maybe not always, but most often we want to improve, and hopefully, you know, that's the purpose. That's also the purpose, you know, to improve. Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm confident that it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be all right. Okay. So you will meet me in the street one day and say, Mike, you were right. It's the person we have now or whatever is going on now, it's actually okay. It's all right.
Ah, this changes of week away from the lot most It's like almost every year I've got a new presenter. Almost every year I've got a new presenter.
Yeah.
Which was no longer comfortable with us. I know for sure that week where you're also going looking for busy patients, you're also doing some other things that are also keeping you busy. But indeed, as listeners, we always make friends with you people, we always listen to your voices, we always, you become our neighbors on the radio.
Mm.
So we miss you a lot here.
Yeah, no, it's good to know. It's good to know. Yeah, it's good to feel that you're gonna be missed, rather than you say, okay, good. Yeah, but you better pack up and go already. Yeah.
All right,
man. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, my brother.
Yeah.
Thank you, bye.
Oh, no, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So, you know, I know. I have confidence. It's going to be okay. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. All right. Our time, 24 minutes past the hour of 10. So now we exhausted the whole question of Namibia being ranked, you know, the second in the world and first in Africa when it comes to pulling in foreign investment, a business in the country. Yeah. So yeah. Now let's look at this. There is this today, as I said, our e-newspaper. The Villager is it's out. The Friday edition is also out. There is one of the front page is that Angola or the kind that where am I actually? I'm trying to get my things right. So, yeah.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha, we take it off a guna, e matina, omjo. Chikawa shafasana nana, longeshifa, ya, ishiwite moshiwana. E moyao. Ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshefa ya Namibia. Ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe. Yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifaregi uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniari. Eagle FM. The Eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Very good morning. Good morning. And if you're just joining us, welcome. You are tuned into Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And I'm your host, Big Mike. Now, let's talk about money. Okay. Okay. No, not your salary, of course. Not your salary. So though we all wish we could, I know we all wish we could, you know. We're talking about the kind of money that moves between countries, okay? The kind that decide whether a Namibian trader in Oshikango get paid on time, the kind that determines how much you pay for Angolan fuel at the pump or at the station, the kind that, frankly, has been making Southern Africa dance to someone else. You know, to someone else's tune for too long, I guess. I think for too long. Now, let me give you a little bit of a background. So, here's the story. And it's a story by Nino Menmavali, Angola. It's that making our front page. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a background, okay? For 13 years now, since 2013, there has been a system running in the background of our region called SADC Real-Time Gross System, SADC Real-Time Gross Settlement System, okay, or SADC RTGS for short. Okay. Think of it like think of it as a digital highway. Okay, that's maybe the best way. It's a digital highway that moves big money between SADC countries. Bank use it, government use it, you know, big business use it. Okay, so it's a highway, digital highway. Now, here's the issue. Now, here's the problem. Maybe not a problem, but here's the issue. Since day one, that highway only accepted one currency, the South African rand. Okay? Now, every other country had to convert their money into rand to use it. It's more like the American dollar, you know? And your Namibian dollar, convert to rand. The Angolan kwanza, convert to rand. The Zambian kwacha, Zambian use kwacha, yeah, convert to rand, you know? So, and every time you convert, okay, just remember, every time you convert, someone takes a cut. Yeah? Every time you convert, there's a cut. You're not just converted for, you know, for nothing. There's a cut. Every time you convert, you lose a little time. Yeah? There's a cut, and you lose a little time, a little trust, a little control. You lose those, you know? This week, That has changed. Angola's kwanza just became the second currency allowed on that highway. Remember, I told this is a digital highway. Now, the Angolan kwanza has been allowed now on that highway. So the rand is no longer alone. And the people running the system are already hinting that Botswana's Pula could be the next. Could be the next. Or could be next. But reading from back to front, there wasn't no mention of Namibian dollar. Not a word. Not a word at all. All right? There were nothing mentioned. So, let me paint you a picture now. Imagine you are a Namibian business owner in Rundu. Okay? You sell building supplies to construction company across the border in Minonge. Minonge is in Angola. So right now, here is what happened when they pay you. Okay? This is what happened when they pay you. Now, their money leaves Angola in kwanza. It hoops, you know, it jump through maybe two or three banks. Okay? It gets converted into US dollar somewhere, and then into South African rand. Then finally, maybe 3 to 5 days later, it lands in your Namibian dollar account. Now, when it's lent in there, it's smaller than you expected, because every hand that touches it took a fee. The American dollar took a fee, the rand took a fee. You know, so everyone who touches it took a fee. So by the time you get paid, your supplier in Windhoek, you know, is calling you. Hey, where are my stuff? Eh? Your workers are waiting for their wages. So, and you are sitting there wondering why doing business with your neighbors feel like, you know, it feel like sending a letter to Europe. Eh? It takes time. It takes time. This is exactly what happened. Now, and that is the reality of trade in Southern Africa, or probably in Africa as well. So we are neighbors, but our money does not actually talk to each other. Our money don't talk to each other. It talk through New York. It talk through London. You know, it talk through Johannesburg. Yeah. Well, Johannesburg is a bit close, though. So now, with the kwanza on the SADC RTGS system, an Angolan business now can settle directly in kwanza. No middleman currency, no unnecessary conversion, faster, cheaper, safer. That's the big deal. I think that's a big deal. That's a door opening. Definitely.
So that's a back door, that's a door opening. So that's why we're asking, okay, where are we? Okay. So the governors said this move is, now we're talking about governors, not our governors, the governors of SADC, okay, the central bank governors, said this move is about boosting regional trade and reducing reliance on foreign currencies. So beautiful words. But let's also look at the numbers they gave us. They gave us some numbers in 2025. So that's why I always said read, you know, read and don't just flap through the article. Sometimes read and analyze, learn to, you know, understand stuff. So now in 2025, trade between Angola and the other 14 SADC country hit about $3.77 billion. Well, it sounds impressive, isn't it? You know, between ourselves. So 3.77 billion US dollars. Now, but then they drop the really, really bomb. Okay, no, not the real bomb, that boom, okay? The one that boom. No, it's just something, you know, that make you really, South Africa alone, for that amount, 3.77 billion US dollar of the trade between Angola and the other 14 SADC countries. Angola, now we're looking at Angola because it's the Kwanza that get into the system. So between Angola and other 14 SADC country, it hit $3.77 billion. Now, South Africa alone counted for nearly $2.99 billion of that. Of that 3.77, 2.99 is counted for South Africa. That is 79% of the total value. 79%. So when we say regional trade, what are we really mean? What we really mean is South Africa and everyone else. So Angola is not trading with SADC. Angola is trading with South Africa and a little bit with the rest of us. From that, 79% of the total value, you can see that. Now, think about this. Does adding the Kwanza now really change that power balance? Would it change actually that power balance? Or does it just make it easier for me, from the way I see it, actually just make it easier for South African business to buy Angolan oil without rent conversion hassle? Well, you know, there will be no Kwanza conversion hassles in buying oil now. Just think about it. Who is actually benefiting? Who is it benefiting? Here's another thing. They say this will reduce foreign exchange conversion requirements. They say it will lower cost, but lower cost for whom? If you are a big commercial bank in Luanda or Johannesburg, yes, you save money. Okay? If you are this big commercial bank, okay? If you are a multinational moving millions, yes, you save money. Okay? But when I look at that, but what about now? You bring it. I said, let's get to the ordinary people. So what about the smaller trader in Katima Mulilo? What about the informal cross-border merchant in Oshkango? Does she have a seat at the table? Or is it this another system built by central bankers for central bankers while the rest of us watch from outside? That's how it looks. The system processes over 250 billion rand every month. That is a serious money. Okay? Every month. But But how much of that is reaching ordinary people? How much is reaching the woman selling tomatoes at the border post? I'm asking because these are the questions we must ask. Yeah? These are the questions we must ask. Now, let's come back home. Let's get home. Namibian dollar, okay? We hear that, you know, the next is Botswana pula. So our dollar, we know, is pegged to the rand, 1-to-1. It has been like that for years, for decades. It gives us stability. Yes, that's what they say. Okay, those are in the know-how. But it also means we are tied, you know, we're tied to South Africa. We're tied to South Africa's economy, you know, economic mood swing, you know. So if there is a phrase that always being used that if South Africa sneezes, Namibia actually catch a cold. We all know this. Yeah? So now think about, just want to think about that. Now the article mentioned Botswana's pula in the next, is the next in line for the RTGS system. But Namibia is silence. Absolute silence. Why? Why is it silence? Is it because our peg to the rent make us irrelevant in this conversation? So have we become now irrelevant in this conversation because of our peg to the rent? Is the system saying, well, Namibia, you are already uses the rent indirectly. Okay? So you don't need your, you know, you don't need your own seat, okay? So you don't need your own seat in terms of this on this digital system, because you already use, you know, you indirectly you already use the rent. So are we becoming invisible in our own region? Yeah? Or is there a bigger strategy at play here? Okay, maybe there's a bigger strategy to play. Is the Bank of Namibia working behind the scenes? Eh? Maybe it's working behind the scenes. So do they even want us on this system as a separate currency? That's a legit. Eh? Do they want us? Or we feel more safe being pegged to the rand? Eh? And if not, should we be worried? Is this something that we should be worried? I don't know. This is not trick questions or some kind of trick question. These are, well, from the way I see, these are survival questions. You know, it's a survival question, isn't it? Because if the SADC is building a future where countries settle directly in their own currencies, they settle directly into their own currencies, and Namibia is just tagging along on the rent, what does that make us? Huh? What does that make us? A partner or a passenger? Huh? Serious, what does that make us? So let's look at the bigger picture here, okay? Because there is a bigger picture here. Africa trades with itself less than any other continent on earth, okay? So we send our raw material to Europe and Asia, and then buy finished good back, you know, at triple, you know, the price. So we have been doing it for generations. Okay? We have been doing that for it. Now the reason things like this, the reason is exactly things like this. Payment system, currency conversion, trust, infrastructure, you know, exactly. Southern Africa is actually ahead. We here in Southern Africa, we are ahead of the rest of the continent on intra-Africa trade. We are. And the articles, but even the article itself says so, you know, the article says so. So, but even here, payment settlements and currency exchange are still cited as the main barrier. So yes, adding the kwanza is progress. It is a step. But is it a step toward true independence? Or is it just a rearranging the furniture in a house
that still belong to someone else? Because here is the truth, ne? Here is the truth that sometimes, you know, we don't get it, eh? Because the US dollar, still dominant global trade. The euro, still whisper in every major contract. And yes, the rand still sit at the center of our region. Eh? Still sit at the center of our region. So 13 years, the RTGS ran on the rand, alone. 13 years. Well, that tells us everything about who holds the key, actually. It tells us who holds the key. Okay? So that's very clear. So the central bank says this creates an environment conducive to trade. Conducive to trade, conducive to investment. And of course, they always have to throw in job creation in there. Okay? They say payments are safer because central banks, you know, settle them directly. Sounds good. Sounds reasonable. And they say it reduces delays and risk. Okay? All true. All good. All right? But the question is, who controlled the system? The South African Reserve Bank operated. So it is appointed by the SADC Committee of Central Bank of Governors. 15 countries participate, but one country runs the machine. Yeah? So now I'm not saying South Africa should not run it. They have, first of all, they have the infrastructure, but they have the experience. They have been doing this for years. They have the money, you know. But let us, how would I say? Let's be honest about what that means, actually. It means the biggest economy in the room, also on the switchboard. The biggest enemy in the room own the switchboard. And when you own the switchboard, so you decide who get connected, yeah? Who get connected. You decide the terms, you decide their fees, you know, you decide the fees and you directly or indirectly, you decide that. Yeah? So, is that a partnership or is that power? Well, think about it. Just think about it. Okay? So, and what does this mean for Namibia? I think that's where we need to come. Yeah? What does it mean for you, an ordinary person sitting now? You could be sitting in Windhoek, you could be sitting in Keetmanshoop, you could be sitting in Ongwediva. Yeah? What does it mean for you, really, when we're looking at this? It means the next time you see fuel prices change, okay? Ask yourself, how did that oil money move? How did it move? It means the next time you hear about a Namibian company struggling with cross-border payments, remember that the system were not built for them. They were not built for them. They were built for the bigger players. Eh? No, seriously, they were built for the bigger players. So it means we need to stop, you know, someone said it that earlier, maybe clapping hands, you know, clapping every time a press release comes out of a central bank, you know, every time there's a press release coming out of a central bank meeting, you know, stop clapping and start asking who benefits. Yeah? Who benefits? Who is left out? Because someone is left out. Yeah? And where is Namibia in all of this? Especially now what we're talking about. Where is Namibia in all of this? Now, and here's the question for us, Namibian, really. If Botswana gets its puller on this system, and Angola has its Kwanza, and South Africa has its rand. So what is our plan, actually? Do we keep riding the rand forever? Are we keeping riding the rand forever? If you're listening, maybe you are NP, lawmakers or so. Do we push for for the Namibian dollar to have its own voice? Do we push for that? Or do we accept that in this regional orchestra, so in this orchestra, you know, we are just echoing South Africa's tune. We are really just echoing South Africa's tune. Reality. Let's tell the truth. That's all what we do. Yeah? So now, come in, come through. I want to hear what you think. Because it's not just about currencies and central banks. This is about whether Namibia is building its own economic future. Are we building our own economic future? Or are we just borrowing someone else? Yeah? That's all what I'm all about. So, and one more thing before I take that break. The article says faster settlement helps business manage cash flow more efficiently. Well, that's true. But efficient now for whom? All right. The same business that already have access to banking, to lawyers, to accountants, or the young entrepreneurs in the north. Yeah? The young entrepreneurs in the north trying to sell goods to Angola for the first time. Is it the one? A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, Big Mike.
Yebo.
2 minutes.
Yeah, so I'm giving now, you know, anyone who comes. You have about 9 minutes. Okay, no. Yeah, maybe someone will come later.
Someone, yeah. They will be complaining.
I have to do something because I'm going, so I have to do something good for someone, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, you know, Mike, the thing is with us, Namibian dollar to be linked to South Africa. If you just link it without us growing our own economy, where we are not producing anything.
Yeah.
That, you know, the way we go to Angola with 1,000 and then you are acting like you are the richest person in Namibia.
Yeah.
When you're in Angola, that's because you can afford anything. And the kwanja is just a lot. It will be like that.
Yeah.
And that is how the Europeans, that's why they are traveling to Africa, because our money is like in their talents, something else.
It's like paper.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that when they're moving with our money, we're supposed to do something.
Yeah.
We have even Ulanima. We are second in the world. Why we cannot link our money to Ulanima? Even the Chinese, when they are pulling, I mean, taking it out to their country.
Yeah.
At least we are gaining more value. Our money can be somewhere. Just imagine how the Botswana did
with their diamond.
So why so stopping Namibia to do something with it? Even with a fish, so spenders they can feel it.
Yeah.
Now we are having money with. That's why our money doesn't have a value. Every day is going down. Just imagine if you're having 1,000 now, Mike, in Namibia. Then you go for, let me say you just take out 400 or 150. That money is gone.
Yeah.
You don't know what anymore that money you spend on because it doesn't have a value. A good drink is already like a 17. A bread is already like a 20. Come on. So at least, if money was having a value like where you are talking about, like an American dollar or a pound. A pound at least, you can buy a lot of things with that 1 pound in England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in America, I think in Burkina Faso, they link their money to the gold, to gold. That's why it's a value, you know?
So what I'm telling you, we need to do something with our money. Now, if we just have a piece of paper, but...
Are you gone? I can't hear you anymore.
South Africa.
Oh, okay.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can
That's
hear
what
you.
I'm saying. It's meaningless when you're having a piece of paper which is not linked to anything. That's why when we're going to South Africa today, we're having 1,000, you'll get something like 800 or 700, somewhere there.
Mm.
And they were saying now we are trading partner. South Africa, we are gaining more than us.
Yeah, it's a conversion. The conversion has few charges.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it goes to dollars and then from dollar to the rand and then, you know, yeah. So that's the process that we're talking about, yeah. Mm.
Sometimes our leaders, they need to come to the reality. I don't know how Kakaendi did it. Because remember the kwacha for Zambia, it was less. But now we go to Zambia, Namibia, yeah.
Yeah, the quantity is why? Stronger.
Mm. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They need to go to those people and then ask how they do it. Because the way, if you are working in the salon where we think we are top of the game, we are the dinner in the table, my friend. Let me give other people a chance.
All right. Okay. All right. Just wrapping up this story. So Angola's kwacha is now the second settlement currency in the SADC payment system, breaking now the 13 year of rent only settlement. So, and that's historic. I think that's historic, and that matters. It does really matters. Yeah. The goal is to cut transaction costs. Speed up payments and reduce dependence on outside currency. That's what they are doing. So on paper, this is a good, I think it's good for the regional trade. Okay. So good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Bo.
Sorry, I'm back again.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm the one who was just crying about your departure.
The crying baby. Maybe. Now, I'm more wrong here, Ghana.
I'm sorry, I'm from the Dundas region. I cannot understand this one.
Now, I'm more wrong here. You are the old. I said you are the last. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Now, you are the, maybe you are the last born, you know? You are my last born, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday, I did call about the issue of the linking our dollar to SA.
Yeah.
African runs. And then today we are getting this news.
Yeah.
About what you just told us just now. Mm. Our colleagues, African people here, now the government of South Africa, we are part of the process of SA.
Mm.
We are not regarded as a country in Southern Africa here. That's why even our million dollars, when you go to Botswana there, with our Namibian dollars here, they will tell you for you to access their bank, at least you need to convert your Namibian dollars to African rand.
Yeah.
That's when you can do it. And you need to go even to Zambia here. Zambia, you can only maybe do some exchange just here at the border. But then if you go deep there, that's the side of Lusaka.
Yeah.
They will even tell you that no, the something rand is even higher than the Indian dollar, and some of the rate change, where they exchange rate.
Yeah,
you can't even get our Indian dollars here on the exchange rate. It's not
really there. Yeah, no. Even the worst is like you can't even go there with Namibian dollar and change. They wouldn't even accept it. You have to go. You must get South African rand to be able to convert your Namibia. You get first the South African rand to convert it to whatever, maybe to the pula or to Malawian kwacha or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we are still comfortable.
Yeah.
Having the Namibian dollar still linked to African rand. But then the time is moving on.
It does.
Because Namibia, we are rich. We have got fish. We have got the diamond. We have got the gold even. We have got lithium. We have got this uranium.
Yeah.
Why can't we...
Yeah, that's what we say. That's what we sell. And when you go deeper, and look, who own our fish? Who own our uranium? Who own our gold? We realize It's not us, actually.
Yeah, it's true. It's not us. We are just there just to be, I think, the caretaker. We are just taking care of somebody's property.
Yeah.
Otherwise, actually, the things are actually, people want it. So it's not us.
So,
as we just been talking yesterday about the issue of the oil also. Yeah. Oil is Namibian oil, but they are now the people who will be benefiting more on this oil. These are the people, these are Portuguese and also French people.
Yeah.
They are the ones who are going to make some benefit out of our oil, Namibian oil. So yeah. I don't know how long are we going to stay and watch, leave our rent in touch with the rent. We leave our dollar.
Yeah.
In fact, we were stuck in land for 100. How long are we going to stay into that comfort zone? But then it's time up for us also to talk about talks, at least to believe. I know for sure that I'm afraid of certain economical consequences that might come. But let them come, let me test them.
Mm.
Yes.
All right, Ben.
Thank you. I'm wishing you. I don't know. I'll try to tune in during the weekend.
Yeah.
You see, you said that is what, from what time in your program?
It's from 11 to 1.
From 11 to 1.
Yeah. Mm. On every Saturday. Program. Yeah.
Yeah, a specific program that you always discuss there.
Yeah. 11. It's called Mind Matters.
Okay. I mean, are you having specific programs that you discuss there?
Which what?
I mean, on your program.
Yeah.
The one we want for Saturday.
Yeah.
Are you having some specific topics that you want to discuss with?
Yeah, no, that's it's more a very it's look at more issues of mental health. Basically, that's what I'm more qualified talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm a profession in. Yeah. So yeah, much of the topic, it's a broader topic, but yeah, that's much of the focus, really. Not specifically really on mental issue specific, but social issues that we talk about. Yeah. Rather here it's more economic issues, political and business issues. So then more social issues, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you, my brother.
All right, thanks a lot. Yeah. Mm.
Okay, bye.
Great. Well, and that's what's actually bringing us to the end of the show this morning. And also, it brings me to the end of hosting Unpacking the Day. But don't completely think that I won't be around. So, yeah. So now and then I might come in. So, yeah, you never know. All right. So, yeah. Thank you very much for being part of my life, and especially on this program. I don't think that I'm saying goodbye here on Eagle FM. I'm just saying thank you for you have really enriched my life with all of you that have taken that have been participating on the show. Especially the veterans, there are some veterans that have been always there. Even sometimes you have these long shows and you go and talking, and some veteran comes and rescue a little bit. I would say rescue a little bit because, so you could be talking to yourself, and then, it's not that it's not something that we definitely do here, but yeah, just that, I'm just thinking of those veterans just to continue to do the same thing. But let's meet on the other side. There's still another show that I run, that's coming on Saturday every Saturday from 11 to 1 o'clock. But from Unpacking the Day, this will be my probably last, day being the main host of the program. So, all right. Let's you continue. Again, continue listening to the other shows that are coming up. I'm going to hand you now over to Abigail that's coming up. So, from me, we hand you over to Vintuk. And have a great weekend. I know it's a bad combination, a payday and a Friday. It's not always a good combination. But behave, all right? Do behave and have a great weekend. Goodbye.